have microphones. Everybody ready?
No, I don't know if they're ready. Okay.
Okay. Ready on that end?
The two are that right there. That's
good.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
No problem. As chairman of the board, I convene this regular meeting of the Board of Commissioners of South Whidbey Fire and EMS for today, Thursday, November 13th at approximately 4 p.m. At this point, I've called the order. Is there a motion from the commissioners to approve the agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. At this point, item three on the agenda scheduled is public input. Is there anybody from the public or in the audience who would like to address us? Going once, going twice. I don't see anybody running in from outside. So at this point, we go to item four on the agenda, which is the consent agenda. And just for the record, all matters listed within the consent agenda have been distributed to the fire district commissioners for reading and study. Because we've reviewed them and they're considered routine in nature, when appropriate, I'll ask for a motion, single motion to approve all these items. But of course, if separate discussion is required, we can pull that from the consent agenda. So at this point, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented to us?
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion and second. Hearing no request for discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Okay.
Of course, none opposed. At this point, we go to item five on the scheduled agenda, which is the member update. And at this point, I see an N/A, so unless there's been a change.
Yeah, we do have one.
Oh, good.
One for that.
All right. Yeah. So a member update, Chief.
So I've asked, we weren't sure when we put this together, we were kind of working things through, but our newest member is maintenance tech, Damian Clay. Damian, if you want to step up, if you want to talk into that mic, you do have to hit the button and just, introduce yourself and say hi.
Expect to speak.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Hope you guys are all doing well. It's very nice to be here in Langley. And I'm excited to, continue working. I started this week, so it's been a good start so far. And I'm excited to be here, and I'm happy to meet all of you.
Great. Thanks, Damian. Damian's come up from Oregon. Olala. Did I say it right? Yeah. Molala. Sorry. The town of Molala, the hamlet of Molala. is excited to be up here. Does have some family in the area as well. So
welcome aboard, sir. You know, we've got all these people in the back that answer the call. But let me tell you, if you're not doing what you've been hired to do, they won't be able to get to the fire scene. So I like to say when there's a new person on board, I take my hat off to salute to you. I love it. Hey, I think you got less hair than I do. But seriously, welcome aboard. We're excited. You are a vital cog in our wheel. So we're glad.
I'm originally from the East Coast, from Massachusetts. And I will say that the mountain views for me, having lived here for 10 years now, never get old. So I hope that continues. And yeah, welcome.
Welcome.
At this point, going to item six on the agenda, old business. We have first item under this section is the second reading as policy 509, ambulance and transport billing. Chief, a staff presentation.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the second reading, of course, of the ambulance transport billing, which is a necessary piece in order to get our registration with Medicaid, Medicare. We don't have, our plan at this time, again, is for emergent transport in the case of the system being overwhelmed. We have been in talks with our partners, Whidbey Health, and seeing what way can we best support their operation without diluting our operation. At any rate, that's what the policy is. I did make some changes since the last time we met, adding definitions for BLS emergent, non-emergent, and also mileage. That goes along with the final piece, which was the ambulance service fee policy, which is directly behind 509 and dovetails with it. I finally received that fee schedule from Whidbey Health, made some changes removing the ALS services and reformatted it. And that's what you see there as the second. Those are the exact same fees they're using. They were going to update those, increase the fees this year, but ended up not doing that. So, do you all have any questions?
Commissioners, question, Chief, on this?
I don't have any.
We're not going to bill for expendables, medications, or that kind of thing, I'm assuming.
No, this is the set fee schedule that we would use, and they really went away from that years ago. Itemized billing is not covered by Medicaid typically. And so that's where they just went to this kind of a fee structure.
That's certainly a lot simpler.
Yeah.
Chief, a basic question. We have an ambulance service fee policy. Who are we billing? Who do we bill for all these line items?
Oh, yeah, we would bill the patient that we transported through Systems Design West, which is the billing company.
So if you have insurance, that would the billing go to the
Exactly.
payer? But
Yep.
if you're uninsured, okay. So what happens if we have somebody that has no insurance and no way to pay?
Well, that's spelled out in this policy. So the district's contracted collections agency shall maintain current account activity on each account turned over for collection. Collection and payment procedures and activity reports shall be monitored and set forth in formal agreement between collection agency and South Whidbey Fire EMS. Accounts in collection for 5 years without activity will be presented to the Board of Fire Commissioners for consideration of a disposition as uncollectible. And of course, as my in my understanding, those aren't like reportable to your credit if it's a healthcare.
When this whole, when we first had sort of tiptoed into this, the Whidbey Health ambulance folks were, shall we say, concerned. Where do we stand? What's the relationship for Whidbey Health's ambulance service and what we propose to do?
Yeah, it's still good and it really has remained good on the administrative level. I talked with the director of Whidbey Health Ambulance yesterday about this, and they're good. They are looking forward to having the support we can provide in this area. Yep. This is something that would help support the ALS services and keep those in service, or be able to supplement them in the case of a big car accident or something that they can't get enough people. Hey, we can put them in the ambulance and take the less acute patient.
Commissioners, any further questions, comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the what is or to have the second reading of policy 509 for ambulance transport billing.
I will motion to approve the policy.
Second.
Motion and second. Not hearing any further discussion, all those in favor of the new policy 509 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good job, Chief.
Thank you.
Okay. So at this point, we have transport billing. We then have the ambulance service fee policy is included in this vote we just covered, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Mission, then the next item here being the mission, vision and value statement. And is that in here? I know I looked at it online, but
It's right before new business.
Should be just right behind, right in front of new business.
Okay.
Last page.
Oh, thank you. What service? See,
victory.
My fellow commissioner makes the chairman of the board look good. Okay. At this point, Chief, staff presentation.
Okay. So, as you know, we discussed in the previous board meeting, we've met twice now with all staff. When I say all staff, we had, I think, 30 folks or so turnout, plus some folks online too. So pretty good turnout. We met twice to discuss the mission and values, and the second time after robust discussion. You know, it was an interesting process, but we kind of came down on a couple of different, or on a new mission, proposed mission and proposed values. As I sent out in the email earlier, you know, there was a second runner up for the mission statement, which was good, and that we said we would hang on to and talk about ways we could implement that in the future. But this document in front of you now is a summary of what we came up with. So this document summarizes the proposed updates to the mission and values of South Whidbey Fire EMS. These updates reflect our continued evolution as a modern fire and EMS organization committed to life safety, professionalism, and compassionate service. Our current mission is to reduce the risk of fire, medical, and other emergencies that threaten the South Whidbey community through service, education, and excellence. The new proposed mission is protect lives, serve with compassion, respond with excellence. The current values, integrity, service, and trust, would be replaced with integrity, professionalism, and compassion. The updated mission and values provide a concise, action-oriented, was important to everybody, reflection of South Whidbey Fire EMS's role and identity. They emphasize life safety, excellence in service, and compassion for the community. Once approved, these statements will be incorporated into department materials, public communications, and employee orientation to reinforce a shared vision and culture. So the ask from the board tonight would be any feedback, and if it looks good, then to approve this as the mission and values going forward.
Commissioners, question, Chief.
I think the proposed mission and values are excellent and very supportive. How long is it going to take us to get this onto the engines and things like that? Are we planning on trying to get this put onto the district vehicles right away, or is this going to be a question as we replace?
Yeah, I think what we need to do is probably, I know, you know, people may cringe a little, but do a work group and figure out what exactly we want to do with messaging on it and get it ordered. I think it's probably going to take a couple months. Do we want to put it on all the engines? I don't know. Maybe we do. Maybe we just want to do it on letterhead. We definitely want to do some posters and things like that, I think, to have around.
And then anything new. Presumably it would go on anything new.
Right. Yeah.
I concur that it should be on printed material on the website, but I can't see there's a value for the district to have it on the rolling stock, because the public isn't going to see that. The public will see it when there's some kind of communication or on the website. So bottom line, one of the things that I enjoy being part of SWIFI is the integrity and the desire to serve the public, because speaking for me and my various occupations as an elected, that's what I feel everybody for that agency, whatever it is supposed to do and does do. But it is very affirming to see the proposed mission and the proposed values, because if you look at it from the member of the public, the idea of protecting lives and then serving with compassion and responding with excellence, that really says everything that everybody here does, and people who ascribe to be part of this organization. Otherwise, they wouldn't be here. And you have to have the integrity and be professional about what you do, and of course, have compassion. So, I, for one, and I think my fellow commissioners think this is good. At this point, we, with a motion to approve, then this would become adopted, the proposed mission and the proposed values. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
So, is there a motion to approve the missions and values as we have discussed?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Good job to Chief, and good job to everybody
Everybody.
out there that worked on this, because in a sense, this says the mission and values really say what everything that you all do, that we, in a sense, we're along for the ride, but you folks are the ones that do the heavy lifting. So I think this is wonderful. So enough of my carrying on. We now go to new business item 7 on the agenda. At this point, the first item is the resolution 2025 dash 15, excuse me, 2025 15 and 20 through 2026 budget and approval of that. A chief staff presentation.
Absolutely. Mr. Chairman, if I can go back to the other one, I just want to mention one other thing with what we just approved. And I think actually in the room, I think Leah and Nikki were working on the one that got approved together at a table. And then Lieutenant Boyd here wrote the second runner-up one. I just dawned on me that everybody's in the room that kind of authored those. We all agreed on them and had input, but I think those were, yeah, kind of the champions of those two. So
And I didn't want to ask the question about what was the debate about. Sometime I'll hear.
okay.
Okay.
So the resolution, so this first one is the fire commissioner South would be have made certification with the taxes to be levied and establishing the annual budget. So the budget is this budget essentially that we presented previously. I don't believe there were any substantive changes to it. So this is essentially the same budget that came out of committee. I think we maybe made some small revenue changes as we've gotten closer to knowing exactly what it was going to be. So you'll see later in the levy certification, it is for more money than we anticipate receiving in revenue at this time. And the reason for that is we don't know exactly to the dollar what it's going to be. So we always do a higher amount because if you do a say, okay, we're going to collect 10 million in revenue, and then it comes out you're going to get 10 million 500,000. You leave the 500,000 on the table. So that's that. But the levy certification is next. So this would be certification for the budget.
Commissioners, questions, comments, thoughts?
I'd like to commend all of the staff that worked on this. I think it was a pretty carefully resolved budget, and I think it bodes well for the future. You know, I was pretty happy that we were able to keep enough money to meet our capital expenses with this. So I think it's looking good.
Mr. Erickson, any thoughts?
I would reiterate the thanks for everyone who has worked hard on making these numbers line up with what we can afford. So thank you. I've been on the team before, and I know it takes a lot of thought. So appreciate that.
And having done it twice, I respect everybody that went through the budget process. And Commissioner Towers, you are our point person this go around, and good job all. At this point, entertain a motion to adopt the budget as presented previously and discussed, and that'll be the budget for 2026.
I will make a motion to approve resolution number 2025-15.
Second.
So then a motion made and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving resolution number 2025-15 for the annual budget for 2026. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? Motion carries. Good job, all.
Yeah.
At this point, we go to the second item under new business. That's the 2026 salary matrix, and that is in our document with blue borders on this one pager. Chief, a staff report.
So this is part and parcel to the budget that we approve. It's actually built into the budget workbook in Excel. But we determined when I got here, around the time that I got here, that we would present each year the budget matrix or the pay matrix for non-represented to the board for formal approval. And so that was documented and where everyone could see it. The change that we are proposing to the salary matrix this year was a 2.8% based on Seattle CPI of August. And so this is the proposed salary matrix. The one oddball thing that you'll see in there is a captain is essentially a place marker because that's a represented position and falls under the matrix for the collective bargaining unit. The way that this works is basically there's 10 grades and there are 11 steps essentially between the two, between minimum and maximum. And there's 3% elevation between step 1, 2 and market, and then 2% thereafter. Any questions from the board on this?
Commissioners?
No questions from me.
Hearing none, at this point, entertain a motion to approve the 2026 salary matrix as presented in our documents.
Make a motion to approve the salary matrix for 2026.
I'll second the motion.
Motion made and second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
None opposed. You'd think we knew what we were doing. Resolution, next item is resolution 2025-16, the levy certification. Chief, staff report.
Okay, so this is perhaps the most important document of the night. if we don't certify this, then we don't get a levy. It's due to the state on the 26th of the county. This is the levy certification for 2025. And actually, is this a typo in here? Perhaps on line 2? Make a regular levy for 2025. For the 2026. Okay, so we're just identifying a typo in here. So this is basically, we can go fix that real quick before we sign. But the general levy that we're certifying on the second page there for the Department of Revenue would be for $10,612,598.57.
What's the buffer between the amount, this amount, and what we actually expect to collect?
You should remember. Mary Kay, can you speak to that? He's asking what the buffer is between the budgeted amount and what we're asking for. Looks like the budgeted levy amount for revenue is 9.7 million.
Okay.
9721952005.
Buffer there.
Yeah, Chief, I see your catch on item two there, 2025.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's
That's
okay.
2026.
I'll just say I don't walk on water, so I've been known to have things not quite the way they should be, but thinking they're correct. So, Commissioners, a question of the Chief on this item. No questions. No further questions at this point. I'll entertain a vote to approve resolution number 2025-16, which is to certify the levy of the district and amount of property taxes to be collected in the year 2026. All those in favor, say aye.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. Sure.
Seconded.
There we go.
Okay. Sorry about that. Motion's made and seconded. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
None opposed. Good job, everybody. At this point, we go to resolution 2025-17, a cooperative purchase. Chief, staff report.
Okay, this is for the purchase of a Pierce fire engine to occur, be paid for in 2026. I'll make a presentation in just a moment here that lays out some of the details of it. We have a apparatus spec committee that has worked over the last several months with career volunteer members and members from maintenance staff and administrative staff to decide on a bid specification for the fire engine. Because we have programs like Sourcewell that have already competitively bid specifications out, we can decide on a spec and have it that's already been bid out, so we don't have to go through the formal sealed bidding process. That's what this resolution is for, is to purchase a Pierce Sabre fire engine. The amount on here is not to exceed $1.140 million. If you look at the second page that says Pierce at the top, and you come down to the bottom line just below that, it says total bid price, including prepaid discounts and sales tax. So with this, we anticipate paying only $1,087,776 for the engine. We did leave the higher price in there just as a not to exceed, again, as a buffer. So if it were to be an additional $100 or $1,000, we wouldn't have to come back.
Good job.
Thank you. And so if you have any questions now, let me know. Otherwise, I'll make a little presentation that Chief Dilley put together. He would be here, but he's sick.
Hmm.
Like a lot of folks right now. So
nobody's supposed to be sick.
I know. I know.
I know.
Then just hit the, if you leave it there and hit the top on the left, there's a little slide projector thing. Yep. There you go.
Yeah, Chief, why don't you do a presentation, and then if we have any questions, we can go from there.
Okie doke. So this is for the Pierce Sabre pumper purchase through Sourcewell Cooperative Purchasing. Why the Pierce Sabre? So the Pierce Sabre is proven reliable chassis with strong safety record, configurable to meet South Whidbey response needs, compatible with neighboring agencies' apparatus, and local support and warranty through a regional Pierce dealer. Pierce fire engines have an excellent reputation. They're considered the best American fire engine. You can get these completely custom. The complete custom order is 3 years out, and it's considerably more money. They were able to find one that was in production that they can do modifications to meet the spec that we wanted. So the procurement path and legal authority was to purchase through Sourcewell contract, RCW 3926060 allows cooperative purchasing in Washington. Participation meets competitive bidding requirements and purchase or order issued to local Pierce dealer under contract, which is Hughes Fire. You remember last time we bought a fire engine, the auditor would have preferred we went through a process here in the board meeting to present this information to you. So that's what we're doing. The cost and value rationale. So the estimated purchase cost of 1.14 includes the chassis, pump, tank, lighting, and options. Life cycle cost analysis shows 20-year service value. Fixed pricing through Sourcewell avoids bid inflation. We also are doing as much as we possibly can to upfit this engine prior to receiving it. We want to get the engine here at the station ready to go, so we're not waiting several months to try to upfit it ourselves, which is very, very challenging. Operational fit and staffing will serve as frontline engine at station 36, replaces aging apparatus with reliability issues. Operator and pump training included with delivery, and maintenance is covered by dealer and our in-house periodic maintenance schedule. The proposed timeline, so will be board approval in November. The PO would be issued November, design review January 2026, factory build and inspection mid-2026. So we would go and inspect the apparatus as it's nearing the end of production. Then it would be delivered in late 2026, which seems like a ways out, but is really a fast timeline right now. Standard Pierce warranty, 10-year cab, 6-year drivetrain, and 1-year components. Factory parts available regionally and local service centers at Hughes Fire. The risks, supply chain delays, specification changes, or cost escalation. Mitigation, fixed price contract. Spec has been reviewed, and there will be acceptance testing. The contingency budget, 5% included for change orders.
What's acceptance testing?
So before we accept delivery of the engine, it's tested to meet specifications that everything's functioning correctly.
Is that us or them?
Well, we would do that with them.
Okay.
Yeah. What exactly the detail of that process is, Ian would certainly be able to tell you. He's worked with Pierce for years, so. Budget impact and funding. This is funded from the fiscal year 2026 capital replacement fund. No operational budget increases expected. So we're going to be within budget. We budgeted in our 5-year projection 1.090, I believe, and we budgeted a little bit more than that in 2026. Replacement aligns with the 20-year fleet rotation plan. So factory acceptance testing with Swiffy staff, like we talked about, on-site delivery inspection and pump test, 2-day vendor training followed by in-house operator program, excuse me. Okay. Any questions about that?
Commissioners, a question of Chief on this important item.
I would extend my thanks to Chief Dilley for putting that together.
We'll let him know, unless he's on here. I don't know.
Commissioner Towers, you've been on these rigs way more than I have. What's your thoughts?
Do we plan on surplusing a unit when we get this?
Yes.
So which one would go?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. I think it's a 90, what is it, a 94? The oldest one, 1994. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what make it was, but Smeal. There you go.
So, Commissioner Towers, you've been on these rigs. What do you think this is? This is up to snuff, or you have some thoughts?
I think the Pierce is a good selection. The policy of buying everything with it and getting it here so getting it to the day we receive it is going to be a great improvement. We've had engines that are sat here for 2 and 3 days while we've tried to get radios and things to get. So I think bringing it in like this is going to be a great improvement. I like it. Wish I got to drive it.
Having, as I said, I've never been answering a call, but I look to people who are in the audience or people that aren't here that have gone and done their homework and this group purchasing arrangement. I mean, why invent the wheel, reinvent the wheel if you have an organization that you can be part of? So I'll say good job, all. If the voters could know the dedication that you all put into things like this, I think they'd be proud. I know I am. So if there's any more discussion, if not, I'll entertain a motion to approve. This will be resolution 25-2025, and doesn't have an item up. But it would be the Pierce Sabre purchase.
Number 17.
17.
Yeah, dash 17. Okay. The presentations before. Okay, so the motion before us is to approve resolution 2025-17, the cooperative purchase for Pierce Sabre fire truck. All those, is there a motion to do this?
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. Good job, all. At this point, we go to the strategic plan review and adopting of the strategic plan for the years 2026 through 2030. Staff presentation, Chief.
Okay, so we've done a lot of work on the strategic plan. This is the one that I sent out to you all a few weeks ago. I haven't received any feedback on it yet, other than verbal. The latest changes were made in track changes, obviously in blue. I did go ahead and update the mission statement and values, anticipating we would approve those. I put in leads for these. I didn't spend a lot of energy on the timeline because I think we need a little bit of time once approved to work with the leads and figure out what they think is reasonable. So a number of these are places ongoing. The big changes that we made were changing the theme titles at this point, just simplified them. So I'll just go through. For instance, theme one, instead of how do we save more lives, the theme is saving lives. Theme two, instead of how do we meet increasing demands over the coming years, it's just meeting increasing demands. Theme three becomes educate the public about the district and the services we provide. Theme four is financial stewardship. Theme five, training and education. Those were really the bigger changes that were made at this point. A lot of this was just plugging in leads and timelines.
Looking at the comments, we've got let's see, page 8. There's two comments, as well as on page 11, and those seem like something we need to work through. I think our goal was to have this approved today. Is that right? Or do we want to give ourselves a little bit more time to work on?
Well, if yeah, I So my thought was I hadn't heard anything back, so either there was no further comment or we needed to probably put it out another month or weeks. I guess I would ask you at this time if you have more direction on it, we can work on that, or we can just go back and review it further and then send me whatever thoughts you have. If that sounds reasonable. The alternative is we could have another standalone meeting, but
Chief, I think we're real close. I, for one, am comfortable with the changes you presented. I like the themes being more active oriented instead of how do we save more lives. Saving lives has much more oomph to it. So I'm comfortable with what's been presented, and basically the final document would have all the blue removed, and where it's got a line through it, and then you would have, for instance, theme one, the final document would be simply theme one colon saving lives. So I'm very comfortable with what's been presented because, in a sense, this is a it's a guide for everything we do. It's what staff brings forward to the board and what you do on a regular basis that is implemented to support the strategic plan. Commissioners, questions of Chief, or do you want to have a decision put forward to the December meeting?
I would like to move this to December.
Fine with me.
I'm not feeling like this is the right moment to review the purple comments that seem like they need a bit more thought, specifically updating theme number three, and then I'm concerned about having an objective that we haven't funded, as well as the potential for having conflicting objectives.
So
Unless I guess the question is, am I understanding these comments correctly?
I think for so f the comment on page eight, the first comment on page eight, I would say we could have more dialogue about it for sure with the group, but I understand the point. However, I think we are working toward a minimum of two responders. It was in the previous strategic plan as well to have two responders on scene of all incidents. It's not saying that we're going to not do it at all, but that we would work towards it. And one example I would give is to get when we have these both stations staffed now, we started on the first to have both stations 100% staffed. We got away from sending one staffed member out of the station on the MERV. And I think that's a huge safety improvement. And I think that's something that we want to keep working towards. However, I to the point that I understand that we still have active MERV users who would likely continue to respond on their own.
And I would encourage us to keep the MERV program going.
So, Chief, there's
as I've said, I don't like it, but I can't, but there's nothing you can do because it's effective and it's been working so well. So it's like, I don't like spending one. And the reason I say that is because I just don't like, we like the buddy system. Goes back to the Boy Scouts. Always use the buddy system, you know,
there have been some squeaky
but
calls.
yeah.
So Chief, if we put this off to the December meeting, the earth will continue rotating.
Yeah, no, I think that's fine on my end. I think this is something that we're it's as valuable for dialogue as it is for anything else. So,
And the board, speaking, I think for a group, we want to be 100% comfortable with policy that we're approving. So let's docket that for December.
Okay.
Okay, so at
Sounds
that
good.
point, commissioners, if you bring forward thoughts to Chief, I'll just say that in this, somewhere we have reference to considering or looking at a community paratransit or non-urgent but still necessary intervention for people. And I know it's not something that's funded, so we just need to, that needs to be looked at over the years and see whether there's a value for it to the public, and if so, how we can find a way to fund it that capability. So at this point, that one is off, and we're going to the DRS compliance review report. Chief, that's the Department of Retirement Systems from the state, and they gave us a report on November 4th of this year. Chief, some thoughts?
Yeah, so first off, why did we get a compliance review from DRS? It's not something that they do every year like the state auditor does for a general audit. We had a member who was off on labor and industries light duty and not working very much, working just a couple hours a week. And we did everything right with that employee as far as how we dealt with them in Department of Retirement Services, but that triggered an audit. And they said, how's this person getting retirement? They don't work. And look, okay, that was all fine. But they said, congratulations, we're auditing your district. In my mind, this was actually a very good thing. Mary Kay had brought forward already over the past year some issues that have been ongoing since we started paying people here. Namely, we were paying every other Thursday, which didn't really match up with how we report. So that created an issue where when people retired, they could get an extra month of service credit. Or at the beginning, it's technical. Let's just say that. At the end of the day, the main thing we have to do is just fix our practices. And we've got a plan already in place to do that. We're going to be changing the way we pay at the first of the year. And I would say Mary Kay would probably be the best one to give any further detail or answer questions. She's working directly with them. She starts telling me about it. Some of it I get, some of it I don't.
It's been a lot of fun. So the crux of it mostly is that you're supposed to report LEF and PERS retirement when it's earned, not when it's paid. We've been reporting it as paid because we don't have a report that will show when it's earned. There's a lot of math that has to go into it. And so we are going to change to a semi-monthly payroll so that the first month's payroll will be reportable for the previous month. The second of the month will be reportable for that month. So that will, thank you to the union for agreeing to do it, make that change. And there were just some other small issues, mostly based on that. I'm working with a representative from DRS for the next year who will personally step in and help with any issues or questions or anything. In fact, I had a meeting with him today, have another one next week.
Does this have any negative impact on employees, previous employees?
No.
Okay. We're just making sure we're doing the right thing
Right.
with.
Need their service credits, you know, like we had somebody start in January, but his earnings weren't reported until February, so he didn't get service credit for January. So we just have to go back and fix that.
Okay.
So we're fixing all of those small issues.
So when you say fixing, is this a few or is there a large number of fixes that need to be done?
There's only about six employees, I think,
Okay.
mainly because they're looking specifically at the ones who are near retirement, because it's that last 5 years that will dictate if there's a change in their retirement benefits or not because of service credits.
So that's one of the benefits of having an entity such as the State Department of Retirement Services, there was no malfeasance on your part or anybody here. It was just the way we were doing things. The state's come forward and said, well, this is the way it's supposed to be, and kudos to you for stepping up to make sure that we're kosher with the state. So good job.
Thank you.
Is there any financial cost to us?
Probably not. If there is, it won't be much at all. So it's mostly hours and timing.
Any further questions? This is simply a report. Chief, we don't have to do anything at this point on this.
Nope, this is just for your edification. Like I said, in my mind, it always kind of sucks. Oh, we didn't do it quite exactly right, but at the same time, I look at it as a good thing that the more they can go through and figure out any issues at all, we can fix them, the better.
I think the issue would be a year from now if we had a similar report, then we'd be concerned. And I can guarantee you we're not going to have that similar report this time next year.
Well, they only visit us once every 5 to 10 years, they said.
Exactly.
So,
5 years from now.
yeah.
Mary Kay, thank you.
Thank you.
At this point, the last item on the new business is your report, sir. What you got?
Okay. Chief's report for November. This covers obviously the month of October. Call volume was up from September, but right about average for the year. We're still up for 24 and 25, but not dramatically as far as call volume goes. The biggest change that's not great for this month is seat coverage. You'll see the top line under staffing and volunteer engagement is fourth seat coverage. And that's down at 70%. It's not down from average, it's about average. However, the good news is on November 1st, we started filling that fourth seat 100%,
Good job.
which is good. So that should be flatline from here on forward.
A big relief.
Yeah, it's taken a while. We could have done it sooner, but really we wanted to get an adequate staffing so we're not burning folks out. So we got a couple more people back from Academy.
Chief, one quick question.
Yep.
With this would be for career or career and volunteers for the fourth seat coverage.
Yeah, the fourth seat could be covered by a volunteer. Yep.
And what do you project? That sounds like it's still mostly career.
yeah
Okay.
yep that's in predominantly. It's a couple of days a week that we'll have that filled with volunteer. Then the yellow one is fifth seat coverage, which is down. It's not at like a historical year for the or number for the year, but it is low. Sixth, the first MIRV is way, way down, dramatically down. The reason is that's basically one person. That when they hit, I think it's 900 hours. You can't get paid anymore. You can continue to do MIRV shifts, but you won't get a stipend. So that would tends to fall off about this time of year. And indeed, we see that. And also, we had a couple of our biggest MIRV participants out of country, so they couldn't come back for shifts either.
Kind of hard.
Yeah. So those numbers are down. And fourth seat, now the good news is we'll be coming back up.
How will that impact overtime budget? Is that going to be within our current budget, you think?
Yeah, we anticipate it within budget. Yep, we looked at that. So recruitment and retention, No new volunteers this month. We have three applications in process. We had no resignations before we created this report. We had one since. We have one new career firefighter that we sent a conditional job offer to this week. So,
how many does that bring us to total now?
So that will be that person. These are to hire in 2026. That'll be number 19. And then we'll do a number 20 when we get we interviewed like five people over the last couple of weeks, and we felt good to hire one of them. So we went back out to do another round of testing. The good news is we go through National Testing Network. So the minute we hit the button and say new list, you got 150 people sitting there on the list. So now we open that up for a month to allow people to go, oh, South Whidbey is hiring, put themselves on the list. So we'll pull that list. We'll go through it. We'll take the top 30 or so and invite them in to do a in-house assessment center here. And then take the top of those, top five or six of those, interview them, and hopefully get a good one. So,
and does that include, we've got one on,
we got one on leave.
So that takes us down one from the
it. Number. It does. So one of the things that I would like to talk to you guys about is the potential for filling that position. But I want to get a little bit more information to bring on. There's a potential we could just bring on two. So put three into academy in the beginning of 2026. Just need to crunch the numbers and see what that would put us at budget wise. But
and those people would become available to us beginning of April.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right around there. Yeah. April. Well, March, I think. Yeah. Okay. So total volunteer number. This is the one we talked about doing last time. And so this number goes back to quarter one, 2023. See, we had a bit of a spike there where we brought in an academy of folks in quarter one, 2024. And then that tapered back off and has been more or less hovering around 40 cents. When you look down at the next chart below that, you've got volunteer participation by total hours per quarter. And that has come up quite a bit from quarter one, 2023. So that's, in a sense, that's good, I think, because if you look at your participation hours are going up, even if your total volunteers were to go down a bit, you're getting people more engaged.
So Chief, you have these two graphs, total volunteers and participation hours. How many of the top graph is total volunteers? These are people who have stated that they are, quote, I'm going to say, I don't know the correct terminology, but they're active volunteers. How many of all of this are volunteers that from that list or that group, how many would you consider to be active?
11.
So 11, so you have a list of approximately 40. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean if somebody from the public was to ask that question? And I'm going to ask the question. If you have 40, that's the roster, but of that, typically it's about 11?
Yep.
Okay. Is that what your peers in similar agencies like we are that experience where they'll have a mixed paid and volunteer, that the numbers are significantly lower for the volunteers that you can depend on?
Well, I don't want to say, you know, make bold statements without bringing the receipts, but generally speaking, either you see numbers like this or you see a program with a half a dozen to a dozen volunteers that are held to a high standard in an agency our size. I haven't seen something different than that. I've seen either it's about 25%, maybe they're active, or you have, hey, you're gonna turn out for X number of shift hours a month, or you're not gonna be on the books anymore. And okay, that, so that's two ways of doing it.
A mandatory volunteer operation.
Correct. Yep.
We adopted a policy along those lines.
We did, and we also kept legacy volunteers as well. Yep. So, and to be honest, we haven't been super strict on the policy for hours. Why? Because frankly, we've just been trying to be successful, or give people every opportunity to be successful. Oh, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back. Or, you know, it's hard to just say, hey, get out of here.
Well, that creates a bad will within the community. But what we're facing is a centrifugal force, whether it's the technology of the internet, employers not being as understanding, I'll use that term, and people being so demanded by their devices that it does take away from the desire on the part of people that, 50 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever, got fulfillment by being a volunteer, and now they're working with devices that takes their attention span away. So it sounds like what we have here is probably a norm for a mixed district like ours and others.
I would say so. I mean, that's what I have seen. You might get some more, but a lot of times it's just tough to get. People are busy. It's true. And, they want to help. It's not, nothing like that. They want to help. They want to be part of it. They want to do the right thing, do a good job, but it's hard to stay active with our lives.
Well, I mean, the last thing we want to do is if we have of those six volunteers to send them away, because the public loses if those people aren't there, because who knows where we're going to have a situation where that volunteer could be the difference of somebody's life being saved.
Right.
So, Chief, you want to move to the next page, resource?
Yes, sir. So Apparatus Committee agreed to move on a Pierce semi-custom engine that we talked about. The trenches are dug for the propane and electric lines on the training center. These will be installed in the next few weeks. We're waiting on parts for a couple of vehicle repairs. Damian Clay, who you met tonight, the maintenance technician, started on the 10th. Welcome. The fire alarms are being repaired and switched to a different monitoring company. So we're very excited about the alarms being fixed.
In other words, fire alarms at our fire stations?
Yeah. They beep. They've been beeping for a long time. So we got a new outfit that's willing to come and service them. So,
well, that's probably a good thing.
Yes. Operations, we conducted interviews of potential career firefighters, extended one job offer. We opened the testing process to hire additional career members for the February Academy or career member. Continuing to work out the shortcomings of the battalion chief tones, so we've had some radio issues with that. We're staffing with a minimum of four firefighters, and we're continuing to work on the transport billing for EMS. For training, they did the quarterly air packs. Basically, that's a training to put on the SC the air pack quickly and effectively. The initial roll-up search and emergency procedures training, salvage and overhaul techniques, outside training. We had three members attend the Women in Fire in Olympia at the end of October, which is a hands-on training, instructing with some of the stations. Signing up for classes in the next year, Working on the 2026 training calendar and aligning topics with strategic plan. Recent events, final all staff meeting occurred for the mission statement and values. Firefighter Wrightson graduated the State Fire Academy, and she's working here on the line now. And of course, again, we extended the offer to one new career firefighter. I would also mention, as I sent out in the email last week, that Bobby Elliott passed away, which was a former member and I believe commissioner as well of the district. It was well regarded. I didn't know him personally. Lieutenant Kalahiki did a nice write-up for that email, which I think you guys saw. So, yeah, we certainly feel for his family. The upcoming events, we have Santa's Sleigh, 4th, 5th, and 6th. Plus, I think they're working on doing a store visit.
So yeah. Santa's Sleigh will be here at 36 or somewhere else?
Yep. Yep, okay. That's going to be the light. Santa's Sleigh parked out here. And did you guys figure out a date of doing a store visit or something? Okay.
So what do you mean by a store visit?
Well, so previously they used to take the sleigh around through neighborhoods, which has got its challenges and safety concerns. And so there's a group of folks who is interested, or at least one person anyways, interested in bringing back a traveling Santa sleigh just to go to a store, like to go to Payless, I think, or the Goose. Yep. So,
okay.
Christmas party, December 13th.
What day of the week is that?
I believe it's a Saturday.
Saturday.
Good.
Saturday. Okay. Here again. Yep. Sweet. Okay. And then Seattle Stair Climbs is March 8th. A little ways out.
Commissioners, questions of Chief on his report?
How are things going with the Joint Battalion Chief program?
I feel like it's going really well, especially now that we have four staff members up. We have a battalion chief on every day. They've been responding to calls, making it out. So the battalion chief deal in general has been great. The joint aspect of it, I think, has been working well. We need to, now we're coming up at the end of the first quarter, do our analysis of where we're at for the first quarter. Yeah. So, I think it's going well from my perspective. I talked to the crew a little bit today. They said, yeah, it seems good. So,
Commissioner Erickson, any thoughts here?
I appreciate the update from, we've got a lot going on. Yeah. Thank you.
Chief, I have back on staffing reports. The third line item is 6-seat coverage is at 2%, down from 10%. Do we have goals for the amount of coverage for these different seat numbers? I'm just curious.
Yeah, the only one we have a goal for right now was by the end of this year to be at 100% 4th seat staffing, which we're at now. So the 6th seat is going to be next as we go to start staffing that third station.
So the definition of 6th seat means what?
6 seats filled in the station. And okay, it's different, and that's broken out from MERVs.
Okay.
So 6 people in a station ready to respond out of the station.
Okay. So that would be here and what, Cameron Road?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Okay.
And if it's 6th, we're set up to do Clinton during the day too. But we've only done that a couple times.
Well, I know there's some neighbors around the Clinton station who'll be glad to hear that.
Yeah. Well, and as we get the folks, we have more and more days where we have 6 on right now, but we have a couple of people who are just back from academy, so we need to get them up to snuff.
Well, when we're doing that at Clinton, let me know, and I've got several opinion leaders, and I'll let them know.
Nathan, come say hi.
Yes. So let's go to item 8 on the agenda, announcements. Sir, you got?
Just the one I had
Yeah.
made about the ones that I had made earlier, and that I would just say that we continue to work on the Station 32 situation.
So item 9, comments from commissioners. We have next board meeting in December. It's, I wouldn't say conflicts, but it's the same time that there's the situation, or the, I wouldn't say joint meeting, but the open house up at Central. And the question would be is when should we docket this, our meeting to occur that evening? What hour? They're having their soiree, what, from 3 to 5? Correct?
Right. Yep. That's right. I think their board meetings must start at 5.
So I guess the question for this board, do we want to start at 5:30 or we want to start at 6?
I would like to start at 5:30 if you can.
Sounds good. I originally said 5, but 5:30 is fine if we're all in agreement.
I agree.
Okay, so we're easy. So 5:30 is it is. And Sherry, you might want to, when you do the public disclosure, you would need to put something out that the board, there will be a majority of the board at the central event. So just to be kosher with the any sticklers for the law would be that the public needs to know that there's a potential for a majority of this board to be in transit at the meeting there and coming back before this meeting. So, any other thoughts from commissioners? If not,
I would like to just add, we had the opportunity to attend the Washington Fire Commissioner Conference last month. I was there with the chief and Commissioner Towers. It's my third go around on this, and it's starting to feel like I know folks. There's familiar faces, and that's really nice. But I wanted to reflect both on the passing of Bobby Elliott and the idea of Ohana Ahi. I would say that my biggest takeaway from the conference was a keynote speaker who spoke about caring for each other was really the gist of what he wanted to convey. It was actually on neuroscience for 3.5 hours. And I admit that when I saw it on the agenda, I thought, is it really going to take that long? And is that going to be a compelling topic? Well, the presenter really was exceptional. He was very engaging. It was very much a dialogue. And I think the biggest takeaway I would want to impart to our team is the importance of caring for each other and including each other, of that family idea that we take care of each other so we can take care of others. And in reading the really beautiful write-up that you put together, I just felt like that was a real good reflection on making sure that's part of our culture. So also thank you for the updated mission and value statements. I feel like we have the opportunity to look out for each other, include each other, and that's what makes us successful. So I just wanted to reflect on that.
Well said, Commissioner Erickson. Commissioner Towers, any thoughts?
No, nothing at this time. I thought the five commissioners meeting would be good this year. Topics were on really applicable to a department like ours, which was nice.
I might just add that Commissioner Towers was voted in as the director for the Region 5 for the Washington State Fire Commissioners Conference. So good job.
So what does that mean, Commissioner Towers?
It means I have to work with all the other commissioners in District 5, which is Meno, Snohomish, Iowa, represent them at the Fire Commissioners Association meeting, which are 4 times a year.
So,
I get 3 trips to Olympia, and I have to go to the Fire Commissioners Association every year.
that's going to keep you honest.
It'll be fun.
Well, I'll just say before we wrap up this meeting, I appreciate everybody here and everything you do every day, because that's what the public doesn't know the value that everybody within this organization provides every day. And when you dial that last digit of 911, you want a high esprit de corps. And if speaking, I think for all the board, whatever we can do to assist you to have that esprit de corps, see the best training, the best support, and within the budget, the best salary, so that when you're answering the call, you're there, you're 100%, you're not thinking about anything else, but how can you serve that person in need? So good job. And I sound like a broken record, but I do mean that. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is second. All those in favor of going home, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good job, everybody.
That was a robust agenda.
And we did it well, thanks to you.
Or just stop share. Just if you can hear them. You got it? Okay. Let's see. I think we just got a bling. And then we didn't have anybody on.